Well, thank you, Joy and Hector. I'm glad he's there. Amen. That's what he promised. He promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. And you know, everybody has trouble. Saved people have trouble, just like lost people have trouble. There's a difference. They've got one they can lean on. They know he's always there. Amen. And I appreciate that message and song. I'm going to ask you to cut me a little slack tonight. I've been teaching through the book of John in Sunday school, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And I was in chapter 18 this morning, and I'm going to be in chapter 18 tonight. I kind of got hung up here on a few thoughts concerning Pilate, I guess, the Roman governor Pilate. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about costly denial. You know, that word denial has come on in the last few years. I don't remember hearing it all that much growing up. But every now and then you hear somebody say, well, he's in denial. You know, you hear that. And that sort of thing. And some folks don't like to admit it. Man and woman come to get some advice from the preacher, sit down in his office, and preacher said, well, what is it? What can I help you with? And the man spoke up and he said, what's her name over here says I'm forgetful. Now, sometimes we don't want to deny the fact, even though it's right in front of our face. And Pilate, when I first got saved, and of course didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't know the whole story, just heard bits and pieces from somebody. When I began to read the Bible for myself and read about the crucifixion and how Jesus was called before Pilate and all that you read in the gospel story. And even at the very beginning, I almost felt a little sorry for Pilate, because he was a fellow doing something he knew better, knew he was wrong, but he done it anyway. Now, all of us have been there sometime or another. Have you ever caught yourself saying, I knew better than that? I'm afraid I have. On a number of occasions, I have certainly done that. But in John 18, I want you to start with me in verse 28. We're going to read on down through about verse 40 and get into this just a little bit tonight. Picking it up in about verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, here's quite a contradiction. Here's these religious Jews. They don't want to go into that Gentile, that Roman hall, lest they be defiled, and yet they were framing a man and going to lynch him, going to kill him. Yeah, right. A little denial there somewhere, right? Yeah. And then in verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? Some of this is going to sound like current news, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I saw a cartoon. Listen, it's Sunday night. Come on. I saw a cartoon in the Ledger, I think it was yesterday. And it had to do with the Mueller report, trying to find a crime on the president. And it had the Mueller standing there handing, a bunch of paper or cloth or whatever it was to a dog, saying, smell of this now and go find the crime. I mean, it was a cute cartoon, but it had so much truth in it. And that's what you got happening right here, framing of Jesus right here. And Pilate went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said, now watch the dodge here. This is a real dodge. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Do you get that? They don't give a charge. They don't have a crime. They're just saying, well, if he wasn't guilty, we wouldn't have brought him in. Right? Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. And that's true. They were under the bondage of Rome, and Rome didn't let them have a capital punishment. So they're bringing him to Rome to do their dirty work because they can't do it. Their capital punishment would have been stoning. But they were not allowed to do it, even though later on in Acts chapter 7, they stoned Stephen, of course, and break their own law. But it's not lawful for us to put him to death. We weren't put to death, so we're bringing him, getting him under the Roman law here. That the saying of Jesus, now notice, they don't realize this, but they're fulfilling the word of the Lord. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now, we studied through this back in John 12. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was talking about being crucified, lifted up on the cross. And now we're finding that there's a movement taking place to get him out from under the Jews. They would have stoned him, but get him under Roman law so he can be lifted up on the cross. God is fulfilling his word. I don't have time for it, but you can go back to the Old Testament. You can go back to Psalms 22 and find out 1,000 years before this took place, it was predicted in the Psalms that he would die on the cross. Interesting. Because the cross came in with Rome. It didn't come in with Israel or Judaism. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But, now I want you to watch one word here, but now, N-O-W, but now is my kingdom not from thence. Now, if you got a new version of the Bible, they left that word now out or changed it. See, they are denying the fact he is got a kingdom coming. It wasn't then, but it is coming. It is still future. He is coming back to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on planet Earth. So the little word now, every time you get a new version of the Bible, it takes out a little word, it changes the truth somewhere. Now, he says, my kingdom's not from thence. But by saying that, he said, now it's not, but it is going to be. It is going to be. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. Yes, he's going to be a king. The world's going to recognize him as king one day. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every man that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's still true today. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Now here's a paradox. Truth is standing in front of him. And he says, what is truth? Truth is standing in front of a lot of folks today, and they're doing just like Pilate. What is truth? Where is truth? Well, Jesus is truth. He said over in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth. Not one of many truths, but the truth. I am the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And he's standing in front of Pilate, and Pilate is saying, what is truth? And truth is right in front of him. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, and this is big, and this is historical, and this is recorded in history. I find in him no fault at all. No fault at all. See, Pilate knew what was going on. Later, you can read where Pilate said that he knew for envy that they had delivered him. Pilate was not fooled, but Pilate went against his own best judgment. I find no fault in at all. But we have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore, that was the Jewish feast, will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. He was a criminal. And yet they chose him over Jesus. You see this book right up here, Brother Bob Azawardi printed this over at our a print shop and the curriculum. And you heard me reference it several times, and I'm going to talk about it here just a minute. Because what I just read you here in the Bible is also recorded in this book. And this book is it's not really a book. We put it together. It's a compiling of all the records coming out of several places, basically records that Rome, the fourth world power, world kingdom of Rome, preserved. Folks, when you come to church and you hear the old Bible preached, it's not myth. It's not imagination. There are facts to back it up. You'd think almost you're reading the Bible when you read this. You see, this is recorded within, let me get my dates pretty close here. Jesus was roughly crucified in 30 AD. This record that's in this book was recorded in Rome shortly thereafter. And what it is, it's Pilate writing to Caesar and telling him all about it, and somewhat trying to justify himself, but being pretty honest. He tells of his fears. He tells of his doubts. And he tells quite a bit about it right here. And it's amazing to me that we got all the evidence that we have, and yet you got the skeptics and so-called higher learning still trying to deny the Bible, deny the very Word of God itself. I'm looking on page 167 here. I can't take time to read all this tonight, and I won't. But the title of this article, and these are records that come out of the Vatican and came out of Constantinople, where the Roman records, we're talking about records that were recorded a long time before there was anything as a Catholic Church or a Pope. And these records was in the files, in the archives, you might say, of Rome. And it is amazing. Here's Pilate writing to Caesar to explain the crucifixion and what was behind it and how that he gave in to the Jews. And he even tells in here how that all about how it took place. And he tells in here that his wife warned him, just like the Bible says. And he speaks to that over here on page 167, very plain. And again, I folded the thing down here. He says, I had taken a wife, a girl from among the Gauls, who pretended, and old Pilate's pretty honest, he sees through a bunch of stuff, pretended to see into the future. She, weeping and throwing herself at my feet, said, beware, beware, and touch not this man, for he is holy. Last night I saw him in a vision. He was walking on the waters. She goes on, and here's a husband that should have listened to his wife. Big time. Big time. And it is quite interesting. Brother Bob put all these together. It looks like a book. It's really, really just compiling all these different files. And the part that got me, and I discovered a number of years ago, and this come out of Washington, out of the Congressional Library. What happened, two country preachers back in the 1890, they made the discovery that this stuff was still on file in the Roman archives. So they went back then on a slow boat all the way to Rome, all the way to Constantinople. They went in and they spent weeks over there going through the archives and so forth, and they produced this stuff. Then they brought all these records back to America and filed them in the Congressional Library in Washington, D.C., and that's where we got them from. That's where we got them from. I tried to get them a number of years ago, and they wanted to charge $500, and I just didn't have it, so I didn't. But then, with all the modern improvement on technology and all that we have now, they didn't cost us anything, I don't think. We got them. Now, I know some of you are going to say, I want to read the book. All right, I got a fee I'll charge you, but I'm joking now. If I loan it to you, you'll sign in blood for it, because I do not want to lose it. I'll tell you that. But here's what I want to say. Here is a man in the Bible. He went along with a conspiracy to kill an innocent man. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He went in denial about it, what he was doing. even though he confesses to Caesar when he writes a letter to explain it that he went against his best judgment, that Jesus was guilty of nothing and he'd only done good. He was not a conspirator. He was not trying to overthrow Rome. All of that's in these files right here as he writes to explain. You see, the Roman government was very detailed. And for instance, in this book also, I think Herod has to write to Caesar or go before him to explain why he chopped off John the Baptist's head. All that's on record. What you read in your Bible is not storytelling. It happened, and then you got it as God wants you and I to have it in the book, in detail. And some of you young people, listen to me. If you think the Bible's just a bunch of fables put together, you're dead wrong. The proof is everywhere. And it is the Word of God, and what it says is true. And somebody said, well, I disagree with the Bible. You're disagreeing with God. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. That's what it is. I want to talk to you just a minute on this thing of denial. Pilate denied the truth. He saw and felt what was right. And mankind today is still doing the same thing. Do you know we're in denial concerning our country tonight? We're in a heap of trouble. The leading contenders against America want to bring in socialism 1 inch from communism and overthrow a government that God has blessed and was founded on the principles of the Word of God. All of that, we're in denial today about the mess we're in. We've got righteousness being perverted in our country. And folks, it's right in front of us like the truth stood in front of Pilate, and we still act like we don't understand what is going on. See, in the old days, the Bible was the final authority. It was the judge. What's happened to America is we've lost our yardstick. We've lost any final judgment. We've lost any what is right and wrong. And when every man begins to do what's right in his own eyes, the old depraved, sinful flesh takes over, and there's no depth to the depravity of man. We're seeing that in all the stuff that is going on, the bloody butchering of the babies and all the rest of it that's going on today. In the old days, the Bible was the judge. One of the best dictionaries you'll ever get a hold of is the Webster 1828. That's going on back, 1828. But as you look up a word in that big Webster's dictionary of 1828, you know what? It'll prove the meaning of the word by going to the Bible and often quoting the scriptures. That's the old America that made America great. Amen. It's not that way anymore. And we're in denial if we don't see the culture change that's taken place. Somebody said, do you need a wall? Yes, we need a wall. We're being overrun by the whole world and wanting us to pay their bills, and we can't do it. We can't do it. We're in denial if we don't see that. I mean, it's a terrible thing, and I feel sorry for those that are hurting in other countries, but we can't feed the world. We can't pay the world's bills. And if you don't believe in a wall, leave your door open tonight when you go to bed. Because, brother, most of us live behind walls one way or the other, and we better in this day and time. I don't know if you've noticed in the newspaper recently, but there's been quite a bit of crime within just a few blocks of our church here. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. The more lax we get, the more we just ignore it, the more we're in denial about it, the more it's going to get worse all the time. Look around in so many of our areas today. We're in denial in our education system. Do you know with all our technology, with all our money that we spend on education, and we do spend a lot, we are still way down on the ladder from even being up close to being equal with the world in educational scores. That is amazing to me. I think I saw that we are 60 on the list. That is unbelievable. We're in denial. The truth is, you send your kid to school, they got this and this and this, but they somehow skipped the three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic, brother. You go to some of these stores and everything's on computer, and I understand that, but if the computer breaks down, they can't give you change for a dollar. Because they can't do any basic math. Amen. Help yourself. I've had that experience. Have you? I've had that experience. And the truth of the matter is we're in denial in the mess our country is in tonight. I hate to say it, but we're in denial about our churches. Our churches aren't what they used to be. Amen. Not even close. We deny the change, but modernism has moved in. What preachers used to preach about, against, well, now we enthrone it. Somebody told me recently, said, I enjoyed coming to your church because I could sing along with the old music. Amen. Well, amen, we're going to keep it that way. Amen. I just don't believe in the, I know there's some cute little courses and things and all that, but a whole pile of it's junk. You got these 7-11 courses, 7 words repeated 11 times. Sad truth is, but don't have a message. If you listen to our music today, morning and tonight, we got a message in it. It glorifies the Lord. It speaks of the great truths of the gospel. And somebody may come in here and not get a thing I say, but they get in on the singing, they get a message. And a lot of times folks learn more doctrine from a good old-fashioned gospel song maybe than they did from the message. And they'll remember it because it kind of cuts a groove in your record up here, don't it? You ever hear somebody say, he's groovy? Well, your brain's sort of like a record, groove cuts in there. And the more you sing it, the deeper the groove cuts, and the more you'll remember it. How many of you, if somebody asks you, do you know this song? You'd say no, but when you hear it, it comes back. It comes back, don't it? And that's the way truth can be taught. But we're in denial in our churches. Modernism's moved in to a great degree. The old songbook's been replaced. The old Bible's been replaced. And the gospel has been perverted or lost too much of the time. Church sovereignty has been lost. We've got more government infringed on the church and stealing our freedoms than we've ever had before. There's a little parking space right here side the door, and I don't know if I understand this. It's got a yellow stripe on it because it was a parking place for the preacher on Sundays and Wednesday night. I never used it the rest of the time because it was close to the cafeteria, and when they were loading stuff, I didn't want to take up the parking spot. But they had it marked, so I could, by the way, you don't have to mark one. I get here before you do anyhow. I just take any place I want, brother. I get here first. But Brother Smith told me, said, we got to paint your name off that spot out there. Now, I'm a little suspicious of that. If I'd have come after he told me that and found his car in it, I'd have been very suspicious. Can I stop and tell you a story that just come through my mind? It's not great, but I want to hear it again. When I was a teenager, we all had jalopy cars, junkers. And the school building is still down there where I went to high school. It's still down there. And the school office was up, and you had a big window you could look out over the clock. And right there, the teachers always got there before we did. So they always parked their cars in the best spots. We'd come along with our junkers later and park here or there. Was out riding around one night, and we went into another neighborhood somewhere, not too far from Haines City, and we saw a sign, a professional sign, city sign, and it said, no parking, order of police. We got out of our car and uprooted that sign. So help me God, had on Bible. We uprooted that sign. We brought it all the way back to our schoolhouse, and we planted it right in front of where all the teachers parked that night. Next morning, we come in 1 minute after the bell rung, or, you know, just the last second we could come in late as we did, but then we went around where we planted the sign, and we backed our cars in because there was not a teacher's car could be seen. Then I happened to be in a classroom where I could look out the window that morning. About 10 o'clock, the police were out there. They were all gathered around the sign looking. Teachers come out, everybody's, and our cars are there. Now, that told them something, didn't it? But they couldn't prove it. But they did take the sign away. So we only parked there one morning. But if I'd have found his car in my parking place, I'd have thought about that. Now, he said they had to paint my name off that spot because of some kind of government rule. You get him to explain it. If it sounds fishy to you, you tell me. But the government keeps infringing everything. Everything just keeps infringing. And we're in denial, but we're losing our freedoms, folks. I know of a church built a building, and I actually preached in it, and the preacher was telling me, he said, now, I said, where's your Sunday school wing going to be? He said, it was going to be right there, but we can't build it now. I said, why? He said, well, they stopped us because a bird built a nest in that tree. And so they couldn't go ahead and finish the project, couldn't build the Sunday school wing because a cotton-picking blue jay was in the tree, and he owned it now. And the last time I found out, I talked to that preacher about it, they never built it. They finally had to sell the property. Maybe they sold it to another bird, I don't know. But anyway, government infringement. Now, there was a time Americans wouldn't stand for that kind of stuff. If you owned the property, you owned it. You had freedom. You could do what was right. But no, it's changed now. And we're in denial about the mess that's going on. We're in denial that the gospel now is being lost or watered down because folks get offended at just one little thing. Amen. Here or there. I had somebody say to me not long ago, said, how do you keep preaching like that? Don't you offend folks? I said, I suspect I do. But I have no intention of changing. Been down the road too long, been doing it too much. I'm not going to change. If it's truth, it's truth. If it's Bible, it's Bible. Somebody said, well, you rubbed the fur wrong. Then turn the cat around. We'll be having rubbing it right. Amen? But the churches, we're in denial about some stuff. Churches used to stand against evil. Evil often shows up in government. You know that? So I said, well, don't preach against politics. Why? That's where I find the most sin. Amen. Sure, I'll preach against it. I mean, a preacher's supposed to do some rebuking and supposed to say what's right and not worry about who's going to be offended. We've got to stand against evil, folks. Amen. That's what it boils down to. I saw where a Bible college got sued the other day because they found out a homosexual was on their staff, and they fired him. Now, you ought to have the right to hire and fire. As a good old American and free American, somebody, I remember somebody told me, he said, you can't fire me. I said, well, keep on working, but your check stopped. You'll get the message pretty soon. Amen? Amen? And they did. I noticed they didn't work free very long. The whole thing is we're in denial about too much stuff today. And just sad truth is, people are in denial about how it's going to end. You know how it's going to end? Judgment's coming. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. America has no exception to that. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Want to get right with God? You do right. You obey His word. You want to bring His judgment? Then you defy Him. That's what history proves that. And it's still being proved. Still be improved today. No, the conclusion is judgment is coming anyhow. World government is trying to get their man, the Antichrist. Prototypes of him through history. Nimrod was a type. Hitler was a big type. If I'd have been preaching when Hitler was in power, I'd have probably identified him as the Antichrist because there were so many things that he fulfilled in the scripture. Do you know that Hitler was trying to bring in the Third Reich? You know what that means? The word Reich means reign. He was going to bring in the millennial reign. He was going to be the man. Do you know he done some things a lot of folks don't understand? I even got a note here in my Bible I copied down a long time ago. Hitler had the Lord's, see if I can get this right. Hitler had the Lord's Prayer rewritten to be about him. See, the Antichrist is going to come in and try to steal worship from the Lord Jesus. And people are going to buy that. That's sad, but they are. And Hitler, I'll read some of it to you if I can read my own note. Wrote a long time ago. I thought I did. All right, I got it. Here's the Lord's Prayer according to Hitler. And this is what he taught the kids. I mean, in assembly, in schools and rooms, they stood up and this is what they said in reciting the prayer that he had written. Adolf Hitler, you are our great leader. Thy name makes the enemy tremble. Thy right reign comes. Thy will alone is law upon the earth. Let us daily hear thy voice and order us by thy leadership, for we will obey to the end with our lives. We praise thee, Heil Hitler. And he also had a table grace written and some other things. See, when the man of sin comes in, the Antichrist, he's going to try to take the glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Hitler was doing. And today, much of what Hitler did, we're still practicing. I got a letter the other day from a mission field and saying pray for them, because in their particular village now they're being slaughtered. They're slaughtering Christians all over this world, folks. But before they slaughtered them, legally by the so-called government, the government went in and took up the guns. So the missionary says, now we have no way to defend ourselves. That's what they want to do to America. That's exactly what they're planning to do to America. That's what Hitler did. He took up the guns of the people and finally took up the guns of the policemen. And then it was only his crew that had the guns. And that's what they'd like to do here. And we're in denial if we don't see some of these things. Head them off the best that we possibly can. But the greatest denial today is folks that deny they're lost, that think they can make it on their own without Jesus. I remember pulling into a service station here in town. This was a long time ago, because the fellow come out to see what I needed. They don't do that no more. So it's been a long time ago. But the fellow come out, and so while we were putting gas in the car, and I was standing there talking to him, I tried to say something to him about the Lord Jesus. And he cut me off pretty quick. He said, I don't need that. I said, well, you know, the Lord died for our sins. He said, I don't have any sins. I looked at him, I said, you don't mean that. No, he said, I'm a good guy. I don't do anything bad. Then I got a little smart aleck myself. I said, what you just did will pass for sin till you find one to commit. I said, what's that? I said, you just lied. That's a sin. All are sinners. Everybody's come short of the glory of God. But you know what? We move to a time now that folks are so self-righteous, they're insulted if you tell them that Jesus died for their sins. Isn't that pitiful? In denial? Yeah, in denial, how it's going to turn out. I read, talking about Germany again, World War II and Hitler. In fact, this week, maybe you saw it, maybe it was in the paper. They discovered another mass grave over there around where the prison camps were in World War II. And they uncovered it, and it was bones of men, women, children, clothes, shoes, and all, where they'd bulldozed in one of those big graves, killed all the Jews and buried them in that mass grave. And they say that with some of the clothes were so well preserved and shoes and stuff that they're able to even go back and trace and find out some of the people maybe that it was. And they're trying to find some of their families and that sort of thing. But what I said that for was they had camps over there. They had the ovens and all that, but they had camps where they would put families into like a little housing project, a bunch of huts, a little buildings. Those folks would be in there, they're being held until their turn come to be killed, to be burned in the oven or to be shot and buried. And some of those that survived said the mentality in those prisons was amazing. Said the mentality was that people went into denial about what was going to happen to them. They said that some of them would even try to go out and plant little flowers or something, like they were working on their own house around the place that they were imprisoned in. because they were denying that sooner or later they were going, because during the night others would disappear, another load would be gone, but they went into denial about it. They just couldn't believe such an awful thing was going to happen to them. And there's people walking around today that just can't ever believe they're ever going to die, but they are. Amen. And they're going to face judgment.
Right.
And you're going to face judgment in your own sins if you don't have Jesus as your Savior. Deny it all you want to. There is something strange about us. You're looking at a man that visits a lot of folks on the deathbed. And a strange thing I've noticed from the very beginning is how people deny it's fixing to happen to them. Man. Think about a man in the Leesburg Hospital. Cancer was eating away at him. Some of his loved ones asked me to go see him. I did. And I went in there in time. The doctor was talking to him, telling him all about it. And I heard it as a pastor standing there. And he was even showing him a little picture. The cancer is here. It is eating this direction. It only has to go this much further to go through a vital organ. And when the doctor left, I talked to him a little bit and started trying to share the gospel with him. He said, "Not now. Not ready yet. Not now." I said, "Did you understand what the doctor was just showing you?" "Yes, yes." But he was still in denial. Still in denial that it was that real, that close. He was dead within 2 days. I wonder if somebody here listening to me tonight or on the radio, you're in denial. "Not me. No, it's not my turn. It'll be way off." You don't know that. The Bible says we don't have the promise of another day. No. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now. It says don't harden your heart. Now's the time. Now is the accepted time. Are we in denial that our heart could quit? You hear our prayer list tonight. There's some people on there didn't expect to be on there just a few days ago. Let's don't be in denial when it comes to our eternal soul, where it's going to spend eternity. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've turned from your way to His and trusted Him and what He did for you and nothing else. If you've done that, that's wonderful. But if you haven't, you're denying that you're going to face a righteous God in your sins. And without the blood of Jesus Christ covering your sins, you don't have a chance. Don't be in denial about that. We're going to give an invitation. You're in God's house. We've spoke to you from God's Word. We've told you the Bible is true, and even historical records back it up. Don't deny. Don't deny if you've never received Christ. Face the truth right now. Tonight, you can receive Him as Savior. I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I went home and pillowed my head that night with the greatest peace. I didn't know much scripture, didn't know much at all, but I just knew something happened in here. I quit denying myself and turned to Jesus. Would you do that tonight? You could. You could leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Him as Savior. Would you bow your heads and stand to your feet, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Father, if there's one here without the Lord Jesus, we pray for them right now. Pray they'd not deny any longer. Maybe they've heard the gospel and had people praying for them, but they're still have never received Christ. Help them not to deny that any longer, but face the truth, even in this very moment. Father, if old Pilate could take it back, oh, how he'd change. He went against what he knew was right. Father, there may be somebody here tonight going against what they know is right. I pray for them right now. Bless them to have the Spirit of God move them to step out and come and receive Jesus tonight. I ask in His name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Christ, will you meet me right here? I pray you will. Oh.